For most of the past 2 weekends, we've experienced multi-inch snowfalls. Now, complaining about snow is a Western Wisconsin tradition, whether it's because of the slick driving or the sore backs from shoveling. But for much of our region's tourism economy, that white falling from the sky was good as gold. Ski hills, bait shops, taverns on snowmobile trails, they all got Christmas early with the December snowfalls. And while the sub-zero cold we experienced yesterday is giving way to more normal late fall and early winter temperatures, that snow isn't melting anytime soon, as the above-normal temperatures we've experienced in November have given way to the polar vortex. Today on the West Side, it's winter tourism and winter fun. And good morning. I'm Dean Kallenbach on the Ideas Network, in for Rich Kramer, who is likely snowboarding somewhere this morning. Our guests today are James Bolin, a member of the Governor's Council on Tourism and Executive Director of the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce, and Lisa Marshall, Communications Director of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. You can join the conversation at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or comment on the West Side Facebook page. James Bolin, let's start with you. I'm guessing most of the businesses in the Cable Chamber of Commerce are smiling as they looked outside on this December 19th.
Yeah, it's really about the perfect start to winter that you can expect. We got a little bit of snow, but then the cold temperatures really helped to freeze up not only the ground, but the swamps and the lakes. And then this recent snowfall on top of it gets us off to the perfect start of winter for our winter economy.
Now, Lisa Marshall, when we think about Wisconsin tourism, the focus tends to be water parks and liquid lakes. How does the economic impact of the winter tourism season compare to our summer season?
Well, obviously, summer is going to be the bread and butter for the state, but for many parts of the state, winter is incredibly important to their overall annual revenue, depending on where you are in the state. You know, up north, I mean, I think many of these destinations rely on the winter outdoor recreation. Down here in the southern part of the state, this is a good time of year for meetings and conventions and different things like that. So it's very significant to the annual $19.3 billion, you know, impact that tourism has on our state.
What, Lisa Marshall, are the real draws that bring travelers from other parts of Wisconsin or even other states to northern and western Wisconsin in winter?
Well, for northern and western Wisconsin, I think I'd say it's outdoor rec. I mean, it's outdoor recreation, cabins and cottages, like up in the North Woods. People, I mean, that's probably one of the top search things on our website right now, or cabins and cottages. Where can I stay if I'm cross-country skiing? Where can I stay, you know, if I'm snowmobiling? So winter events is another big draw, too.
James Bolin, what are the types of businesses, Lisa mentioned a couple, but what are the types of businesses that you're aware of that have the most to gain from a strong, snowy winter season?
Well, obviously, the lodging sector does very well. Lisa mentioned the cabins are very popular. You can imagine people wanting to sit inside a cabin in front of a fire. And you know, it could be someone who wants to just stay indoors and read a book and relax. And then obviously, people want to get out and explore and recreate. And so the businesses that benefit from the outdoor recreation tend to be, you know, restaurants and taverns. It really depends on the sport. However, you know, restaurants do really well. You know, gourmet type restaurants seem to do very well. Some of the different shops that cater to those people, whether it's ski rental shops, fat bike rental shops, snowboards, ski hills, stuff like that.
Now, the winter storm, or the summer storms, rather, and the flooding really took out roads and damaged the tourism industry in northwestern Wisconsin and north-central Wisconsin. Can winter make up for the lost revenue that was experienced there?
Well, I hope so, but our focus since almost immediately after those storms hit was trying to get the trails repaired so that they could open. And I know in our area, you know, there were 9 counties that received federal emergency declarations and the governor's declarations as well. And we went to work pretty quickly. Obviously, all of our highways were closed up there. We actually were an island for a while.
Yeah.
But then all of those country roads, those gravel roads, were all washed out, and many, many trails. And it was a huge Herculean effort by county agencies and the different clubs and, you know, the National Forest Service, the DNR, all these partners coming together to get the trails up and going. And for the most part, I think almost every single trail has either been repaired or rerouted. In some cases, the damage was so severe, they'll never be reopened, so they had to find a new route.
Lisa Marshall, with your understanding of the severity and extent of those summer storms, you know, there were a lot of trees that went down in northwestern Wisconsin, and I've got to think that, you know, the skiers and snowmobilers who, you know, were looking to use those trails are hoping that all is well. Are you familiar broadly, you know, in northern Wisconsin, have those accommodations been made in time for winter?
Well, I'm not sure the, you know, specific details. James may know better than I am because he's right up in that area. I just know that everybody was working hard to get the trails open. And as far as I know, I'm pretty sure, I think all the state trails are back to normal. James, mm-hmm. am I correct on that, or did they get them all?
Yeah, I think
back
you
up?
Are. I think there were 9 counties affected, and I may not be accurate on every one of them, but I do know that the lion's share of them were. There may be one or two that weren't, but as I said, in a couple of instances, they just came up with a permanent reroute.
And I think, too, I mean, the key is calling ahead and just, you know, talking to the local area to find out, hey, which snowmobile trails are open, which ones are closed, you know, have they been rerouted, or, you know, what places should I avoid? And you know, really the message we want to send to people is come up there. I mean, it is everything is open for business. So that's what we were doing at the state level down here, was just making sure that the travelers knew that, you know, yes, we've had some, you know, damage, but you can still get to your destination. You can still get to these events. You just maybe rerouted and call ahead.
That's the voice of Lisa Marshall. She's with the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. James Bolin is also with us on the program today. He's from the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce, and he's a member of the Governor's Council on Tourism. Our topic today, winter tourism and winter recreation. We'd love to hear from you at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615, or you can comment on the West Side Facebook page. You know, what are you looking forward to? What sorts of activities do you like to take part in Wisconsin? Or where do you go? Where's a spot that you'd like to tell others about? You know, it's a secret spot, I know, but we won't tell anybody. We're talking about that winter tourism here and our outlook for the coming season. What visions flash through your head when you see snow on the ground and feel a bite on the air?
Well, I have one.
Yeah, go for it.
Jim, I'm going to jump in here.
Please do.
Is that, for me, knowing, and everyone calls this the polar vortex, the colder the better for up north, because what we're hoping for is another freeze for Lake Superior so that we have those ice caves form again. I mean, when that happens, I mean, we had international visitation for that to come and see and photograph it, because it's such an amazing sight. So we're all keeping our fingers crossed that, again, we see, you know, we get the lake freezes enough so that people can come enjoy it.
Well, Rich Kramer, the normal host of this program, who's a reporter in western Wisconsin, went up there a couple of years ago and did a story and took a lot of great photos that set records on our website.
Yes, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it was international. So let's all keep our fingers crossed, pray for cold.
Well, very good. Let's take a break here. You can join again the conversation by calling in at 800-228-5615 or join by going on the West Side's Facebook page and posting a comment. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from the City of Appleton, dedicated to attracting businesses to Appleton, featuring available lots in South Point Commerce Business Park with access to a major highway ready for development. More at appleton.org. Support also comes from Marshfield Clinic, ever focused on a commitment to innovate and define the future of healthcare for generations to come. Don't just live, shine. More information is at marshfieldclinic.org.
We'll continue talking about winter next hour with Larry Mueller. This cold weather and lots of snow makes good winter sports conditions. We've been talking about it already. But what kind of condition are you in? You can find out how to avoid injury as you ski, skate, and enjoy other winter sports again with advice from our physical therapy experts. That's After 11 with Larry Mueller. We're back on the West Side, and we're talking tourism, the winter kind. James Bolin of Cable is a member of the Governor's Council on Tourism, and Lisa Marshall directs communications for the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Lisa Marshall, we see a lot of marketing targeted towards summer tourism. How is Western Wisconsin's winter tourism marketed?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're doing now, a lot of what we're finding is as digital advertising is really raising, kind of coming up as the gold standard for marketing. It's a way to cut through the clutter and really target travelers that are showing an interest in Wisconsin. So we're doing for winter a lot of digital advertising, and we know we target Minnesota, Minneapolis, because we know that so many of those people from Minneapolis, St. Paul area are coming to Western Wisconsin. So definitely we're targeting those folks.
James, is that your experience as well, that the Twin Cities is a big market for Bayfield County and your area?
Yeah, it really is. Ironically, it depends on the sport. I would say a lot of the cross-country skiers, snowshoers, fat bikers tend to come from the Twin Cities area. A lot of the snowmobilers come from the northern Iowa counties and the northwestern Chicago suburbs. So it kind of depends on what they're coming to do. But I would say Minneapolis is a big market, you know, in all four seasons for us.
Do you find, Lisa Marshall, that marketing tends to focus on specific events or on general interests?
You know, our advertising, basically what we're trying to do, and we do a lot of TV in the summer and fall, is to brand the state. I mean, we can't, you know, there's so many different things you can do here, so you can't encompass everything. But what we are trying to do is show the fun, like, you know, depict the fun that you can have in our state. And then get them hooked, get them to travelwisconsin.com, which is our website. And from there, I mean, they can learn everything they want to about whatever it is they're interested in, whether it's outdoor sports or water parks, and then drill down. And then from there, they can research their trips and then hopefully from there find the Cable Chamber of Commerce or contact them directly. So, it's you know, we're kind of at the top, and then everyone else kind of from the state, you know, tourism industry sort of comes underneath that.
James Bolin, what is no doubt the biggest winter event in northwestern Wisconsin is the Birkebeiner ski race between Cable and Hayward in February. What's the economic impact of the Birke? Obviously, for Cable, it's a big deal.
You know, they did a study. It's probably outdated now, but I think about 6 years ago they did a study and found that weekend alone it brings about $6 million into the local economy of the two towns, the two counties. So it's huge, but the impact goes way beyond that. There's multiple events that take place on the Birke Trail. There's an awful lot of people that plan to do the race that come up multiple times to train. You know, they do a trail marathon in September. They do the Birke Tour. So they've got a lot of different events that they bring in as well. But that event shows how northern Wisconsin, especially northwestern Wisconsin, is really renowned across the world. It's probably the most renowned of the World Lopet races that there are out there, and it draws tens of thousands of skiers every year.
Hmm. Western and northwestern Wisconsin, and we've talked about this a little bit, a lot of resorts, lake resorts, bed and breakfasts, they do a booming summer business. Now, some do shut down for the winter, but others stay open. What brings those businesses customers in the winter, James Bolin?
Well, it's that white snow that we were talking about, you know, in your opening. It's really people that are looking to get up here for a variety of reasons. Some come just, you know, to get away with family. And then while they're here, they're looking for activities to do. Others are really driven by a lot of those events that take place. There are some pretty significant events that take place in Wisconsin in the wintertime that draw a lot of people. But, you know, cross-country skiing and snowmobiling are obviously the two major ones. As I mentioned, fat biking is really something that's been coming on in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But really, it's those outdoor activities that people want to come to northwestern Wisconsin and experience. And that's what makes those resorts kind of tick in the wintertime.
Lisa Marshall, we're coming up on Christmas, and it's a week plus in which schools are closed. What does this December snowfall open up for activities for those families with some time off in the couple coming weeks?
Well, I'm going to say that a lot of people are going to be hitting some ski areas mm-hmm. this week. A lot of them are opened up. They opened up a little bit late, like maybe a little week or so later. But it's been amazing to see how many of these ski areas, we have about 30 across the state, and how they have just really have been putting money into renovations, adding, you know, chairlifts and trails and improving and expanding their terrain parks. And like I said, snow tubing is the family-friendly activity, and we've just seen such an incredible rise in its popularity and all this, you know, ski areas, creating them and adding on to them. So I think you're going to see a lot of families taking a little break, you know, a little day trip here or there to a ski area.
Yeah, I checked the report this morning. I noticed that both Trollhagen and Christie Mountain here in western Wisconsin are open and say the conditions are excellent.
Yes.
It seems like when I'm, you know, back in the 70s or so when I was a teenager, that downhill skiing was really a big deal, and it seemed like it declined for a while. And I've noticed that downhill ski places seem to have diversified some to try to fold in, say, the tubing areas. Is that the direction that industry is going? And what else has downhill skiing resorts done in order to remain viable?
Well, like I said, like the snow tubing, and they know that they have to upgrade their facilities if they're going to get travelers or get visitors or, you know, skiers. And the terrain parks were a big one a few years ago. Now it's the snow tubing. What's really interesting is what they're doing off season. I know, I'm trying to think which of the ski areas, maybe James, you can tell me, but they're starting to do things like Fat Tire, get people in the summer biking their trail, you know, biking at the ski areas.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing they're doing is in the off-season, you know, I know up by us, Spirit Mountain added an alpine slide in the summer months, and so it basically is a gravity-fed roller coaster.
Sure.
And so they're diversifying year-round. But as Lisa said, they're also, you know, investing in modernizing their equipment. They're adding some of the different, you know, half-pipe things that have been becoming more popular with snowboarding and stuff. And this year, I'm excited about the start of the Christmas break because of where Christmas and New Year's falls.
Mm-hmm.
Typically in the wintertime, resorts hope to be full on the weekends.
Yeah.
But that's 2 days out of the week, so 8 days out of the month. And with Christmas on and New Year's both on Sunday, there's a good chance a lot of these resorts could see 12 days worth of business, not necessarily the same people for 12 days, but be busy for 12 straight days, which is almost a month and a half's worth of typical income. So it's huge for those resorts to see a really strong Christmas, New Year's break for the schools.
Love to have you join us in the conversation. Tell us what you do for fun in the winter. Maybe you'll give somebody an idea of something they can try who's, you know, been sitting and, you know, main winter activity might be watching football on television. But let's see what we can do about getting out a little bit. Let's shift a little bit to other, you know, we talked a little bit about alternative things. What are the fastest growing, James Boland, what are the fastest growing parts of the winter tourism economy?
Well, I would say right now it's got to be the fat bikes is kind of the big thing. Basically, it's a mountain bike with extremely wide tires, has the ability to go over a lot of different terrain, including snow. So it can go through, you know, probably a foot of ungroomed snow. But then once the snow depths get a little bit deeper, they actually have to groom the trails. And so I know up in our part of the neck of the woods, they're grooming about 60 miles worth of fat bike specific trails. They're groomed a little differently. It's like a little tiny, short, squatty dirt bike with fat tires and chains, and it pulls a roller, like a leveler that you would use on your yard in the spring. But it looks kind of like a corrugated culvert,
right.
And it grooms about a 2-foot-wide track. And they're grooming these trails, and these bikers are out riding bikes year-round. They'll ride fat bikes in the summer months as well. They're a little bit slower, depending on the course and what they're racing, than a typical mountain bike would be. But they're extremely popular in the winter sport. We actually had a new business called Up North Guided Tours just open in our area, specifically to take people out on fat bikes and introduce them to the fat bike phenomenon. So in our part of the state, I would say it's undoubtedly fat bikes.
Lisa Marshall, is that fat bike phenomenon something you're seeing statewide?
Yeah, yes. We actually have, I'm trying to think down here. We see what is called Snowcross. Is that right, James?
Yep.
Where competitions? Yeah. No, I agree with James. That's definitely a hot trend. Is this winter fat biking? The other thing that I see, and this is statewide, is events. And I think that started, you know, communities holding these events, you know, or snowshoe competition, you know, snowshoe races. I know Ashland has a number of different races, like Book Across the Bay. And what that does is when there's years where the snow may be late or it's, you know, kind of erratic, you know, you have these events that will still bring people to your area and fill your hotel room, and they're not so weather dependent. And so I think these events have really helped keep the business going strong in the winter.
Well, I've wondered if social media has something to do with that as well, because events are an excuse for you to talk about a place. Does that make sense, or is that one of the strategies that these folks are using who are developing these winter events?
Well, you know, I think it used to be when you came back from a vacation, you wanted bragging rights around the water cooler. You wanted to be telling the greatest story. Now, with social media, you can do it instantly.
Yeah.
And so you're posting these pictures and stuff, and people are seeing them and saying, I want to go there, I want to experience that. And there's just some great images that are coming out of not only events, but also the scenery. You know, you get some of these lakes and rivers that are freezing, and you got the steam coming off, and wildlife photos, and, you know, the best of the best are being put out, hopefully, on social media.
I'll get back to you in a minute, Lisa, but I wanted to point out James brought some photographs of Fat Tire biking that we'll post on our Facebook page after we're done here. But it's pretty amazing to see that. And, the families of those people and everybody else are going to be in town when that happens. Lisa, you wanted to add something.
I was just going to agree with James totally when he talks about social media and how much impact that has. And people, you know, I know with our social media, we will post photos on Instagram, and we always put where it is, because that's the first question is, where is that? I want to go there. I want to see that. So I agree with James. It definitely inspires people.
We're talking about winter tourism in western Wisconsin. James Bolin from the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce and Lisa Marshall from the State Department of Tourism are our guests. I'd like to hear from you. What's the best-kept secret for winter fun in western Wisconsin? And what winter events do you look forward to? Back-to-back weekends at the end of January and the beginning of February are the Silver Mine Ski Invitational in Eau Claire and the Snowflake Ski Jumping Tournament in Westby. Both of those events are popular spectator draws. I mean, they really are events. Lisa Marshall, what's the attraction there?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not as familiar with either of those. I think they're probably, you know, nothing else like them nearby. So it drives, you know, they're different and unique, and a lot of international focus on those. Aren't they national ski jumping races or competitions? So yes. I think right there that in itself. Also, Eau Claire on its own has really just grown, and they've done so much interesting development. They've got a couple of new boutique hotels and restaurants and downtown development. So Eau Claire really, I think, has got a whole new market of travelers that are discovering them.
Yeah, we're talking, you know, winter lands sort of right in the middle of the arts seasons. A lot of arts organizations, whether it's community theater or local regional arts councils, kind of start their season September-ish, end at May-ish, kind of with the school year. So winter is the one season that isn't totally encompassed by that. You know, is that a significant part of winter tourism, this ability? And I'm guessing you're probably not bringing people from Chicago or Minneapolis necessarily to see an event, an arts event in Eau Claire, but certainly you're bringing people maybe from a 40, 50, 60 mile radius. Is that your experience, Lisa Marshall?
Yeah, it may be, you know, I would call that a day tripper. And, you know, someone looking for something to do on a Saturday or Sunday, I mean, they are going to, you know, eat in the restaurants and maybe visit other places. They don't spend as much money as an overnight visitor, but still, that's a, you know, we still want that visitor. We still want that. And maybe they'll come back and stay longer at another time. So, I would say the arts do that, events, things like that, definitely. I mean, it rounds out what we offer the traveler in the wintertime.
And James Bolin, in areas like Cable or Bayfield County where, you know, there is that outdoor recreation is plentiful, do you see that? Is the arts community still active trying to capture some of that tourism dollar?
Absolutely. I think maybe in a little bit different way, but you know, up by us, we have a lot of the artist studios.
Yeah.
They like living in an area that inspires them physically with, you know, what they're able to see and experience. And so we have a lot of studios. And so you get a lot of studio tours. We also have a lot of arts councils that have established kind of cooperative buildings where they're selling their wares and stuff. And so I think the other thing is sometimes when you get cold weather like we've had the last couple of days, maybe a couple of indoor days of shopping and stuff aren't a bad thing either. And you give an opportunity for those who maybe don't want to be outside in the cold and stuff, still some great activities that they can do. And so it just broadens the appeal that we have to people coming to our area.
Winter tourism, winter activities, what do you do to stay sane? That's our focus this hour on the West Side. And, you know, again, we'd like to hear if you're, you know, as you're listening in Western Wisconsin, what is it that grabs you? What makes you excited when you see that first snowfall or the first couple of snowfalls as we've experienced over the last couple of weekends? Ice boating is something, and I want to preface the Wisconsin Public Television. Our friends at Wisconsin Public Television debuted a program a couple of weeks ago, Wisconsin Winter from the Air, in which they kind of took off on their Wisconsin from the Air program, which was extremely popular and is still extremely popular, basically aerial shots of various places in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Winter from the Air isn't entirely from the air. They actually go down and take a look at different things. You know, on a ground level, but ice boating was one thing that I saw there. And, you know, where is that happening? Is that like Lake Winnebago sort of thing, or are we simply, do we have anything like that in our neck of the woods?
I think most of that, this may be one I defer to Lisa,
yeah.
But I think most of that is a little bit more
side?
Southern
yeah.
Because of they need the lakes to have ice, but not snow. And ours tend to have snow on top of them.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was snow mattered, you know, on top of the ice. That's a really good point. But where we have seen it, it has been Lake Winnebago, and also Lake Geneva is a really big location for that as well. I've never seen it, although I hear it's pretty cool. But, yeah, I think that's more of a southern Wisconsin thing.
Okay. The you know, one thing, and there's a little north of you, James Bolin, based in Cable, but I do know that, you know, of course, one of the things about winter tourism up in the Bayfield, Madeline Island area is the fact that the ferry's not running when the ice is frozen and people actually drive and walk and ski between Madeline and Bayfield. And, you know, some people are looking forward to when that ice is ready to roll.
Yeah, there's something a little thrilling about the first time across the ice road. And then if you've ever been on a lake and heard it making ice and you hear that popping sound, it's a little frightening. I'll put a challenge out for your listeners. I want to hear what the strangest or most unique thing they've ever done in the wintertime. And I'll start by telling you, for mine, I actually have played golf under the ice, underwater, while ice diving, scuba diving. under the lake. I used to run the dive rescue team for Bayfield County.
Sure.
And so we obviously did a lot of training, and that included ice rescues. And so we had to stay up on our certifications, and you had to log a certain amount of time under the ice. And so I used to, just to have something to do down there besides freeze, I would actually take a stick and a golf ball, and you would drop to the bottom and then fill your buoyancy and get balance and flip upside down and then fill your BC. So you'd float to the underside of the ice, which is actually, when a lake makes ice, it makes it on the bottom side.
Sure.
So it's really, really smooth. And you would drop the tennis ball and it would float up.
Sure.
But because you're upside down, it would go to your feet, and then you could hit it and it would roll. And when you hit we drill like an ice auger hole.
Sure.
And when you'd hit it, the ball would go up, but because you're upside down, it would appear to go down. And so I have golfed under the ice in northern Wisconsin in the middle of January.
You know, I think I'd be a natural at that simply because my ball always finds the water anyway. So it'd be just a natural thing for me. Lisa Marshall, how about you? What's something unusual that you've done?
Well, I haven't done it, but I'm going to go see it. How about that? I have plans to go to Justin Trails in January, and they're known for skijoring, or they have their own dog there, or they will help you if you bring your dog, and help you learn that sport, that Nordic sport of a dog pulling you on your skis. So I'm kind of excited to see that firsthand, and I think that's kind of unusual.
That was actually a very – and I know this because I was doing genealogy, helping my wife do genealogy, and I was doing some searches. She had a great uncle who, like, 3 years in a row won the dog sled, single dog sled race. They'd go down a hill in Rice Lake. And they'd have a big deal, and then they had like a regional tournament up in Superior where you did the same thing, and it was they would name the dog and the kid that won. It was all a child's activity, but sounds like a fun thing to do. And I can think of a lot of dogs that would think that was a fun thing.
They do a skidjourning as part of the American Birkebeiner, and it's called the Barkaburney.
That's right. Oh, I forgot about that. That's great.
All right. Well, we're learning new things. And here's a comment. Each university usually has specific events that the public is invited to attend, especially for those who prefer to be indoors. And, yeah, our university communities, and we've got plenty of them here in western Wisconsin, lots of things going on in the winter. 800-228-5615 is our number. Love to have you join us. Tell us your winter story. We'd like to know more about what's got you going in the winter. 800-228-5615. James Boland from the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce, Lisa Marshall from the State Department of Tourism are our guests. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network.
Looking for holiday music and stories to put you in the mood for cooking, gift wrapping, or sitting by the fire? Tune into Wisconsin Public Radio this season as Santa Claus takes calls from kids on The Larry Mueller Show. And Simply Folk features music for the holidays and welcomes 2017 with a sing-along. Learn more about our seasonal programs at wpr.org/holidays.
Support for WPR comes from Titletown Brewing Company in Green Bay, now offering a variety of bottled beers throughout Wisconsin. More about their beers, historic facilities, and newly renovated brewery is at titletownbrewing.com. Support also comes from Mayo Clinic Health System, encouraging families and friends to talk about advanced care planning this holiday season. More information is at mayoclinichealthsystem.org.
Coming up Thursday morning, it's the pre-holiday version of Spectrum West, the arts and culture magazine that hones in on what makes us tick here in western Wisconsin. Al Ross is your master of ceremonies every Thursday at 10 on this station of the Ideas Network, and I bet he'll have some fun things for us to consider in the coming weeks to explore here in western Wisconsin. Winter fun is our focus for this hour. Lisa Marshall, Communications Director of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and James Boland, a member of the Governor's Council on Tourism and Executive Director of the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce, are our guests. I remember back, James Boland, in the 1980s, there was a snowshoe race between Superior and Rice Lake that used to attract off-season marathon runners and diehard snowshoers. I mean, they had stops. I think they stopped twice along the way, and people would line the streets in those communities to watch those folks come in. Now, that event is no longer around, but what role does snowshoeing play in the winter tourism scene?
You know, there's a resort by us called Lakewoods Resort, and in March, they're hosting the U.S., the Midwest Championships. 2 years ago, they hosted the World Championship snowshoe races there. That also is a sport that I think is maybe under-recognized, but seems to be growing a little bit more. I think people are getting more interested in an active lifestyle. I think that's part of why the fat bikes have grown a little bit, those that aren't necessarily into skiing. But if you're not into biking or skiing, everybody likes to walk or run. And so snowshoeing kind of becomes that third leg of the stool for those that are looking to get out and explore. There are some great, national parks. There are some great trails out there for people that are looking to get out. And for them, it's about, I think, exercise and then also visual. They want to get to those places that aren't easy to get to and see those stunning images. Right. So for them, it's more about recreation. But there's definitely some really good snowshoe events out there. It just seems like right now it's a little under the radar.
Lisa Marshall, I know that the whole area, a lot of these sports we're talking about, a lot of these recreation opportunities, have to do with trails. And, of course, there's cross-country skiing, there's snowmobiling, there's snowshoeing, there's fat tire racing, and they all require different things. Is there, I know in the summertime we sometimes have some conflicts between ATV trails and hiking trails and bike trails and things like that. Is there does that sort of conflict come into play in the winter, or because the trails need different things, do people tend to stay off each other's trails?
I think in the, I mean, James may know this better than I do too, since he's up there. Yeah. But I think in the winter, I mean, they're groomed for certain activities. I don't think, you know, on a snowmobile trail per se, you can cross country ski. But correct me if I'm wrong there, James.
Yeah, I think it depends on the county. Different counties approach it differently. In Bayfield County, where I'm at, the trails are sport specific. And so the nice thing there is, though, that each of those clubs tends to advocate for the other clubs to get more trails because they just understand that, you know, they're all in, you know, they may be a different sport, but they're all facing the same challenges and stuff. And so they seem to work really well together. In other counties, they're not necessarily sport specific, but they tend to, you know, most of your cross-country skiers don't really want to be on a trail that a snowmobile is going to go whizzing by. And the snowmobiler doesn't necessarily want a pedestrian on the trail because, you know, the sports just don't lend themselves together. So it depends somewhat on what the sport is. Obviously, a fat bike and a skier or a snowshoer and a skier get along a little bit, you know, more readily. But generally speaking, the trails are dedicated for a specific sport for the safety issue, and then it's just better for the actual activity itself.
Snowmobiling has changed a lot. I remember back in the 80s, there was this, well, actually, this had been back in the 60s. I keep dating myself on this program, but the snowmobiles exploded, and anybody who made anything that moved or a motor had a brand of snowmobile. I remember Homelite had a snowmobile. Johnsered had a snowmobile. Everybody had snowmobiles. That sort of sifted itself out, but people were driving, you know, everybody had to have a snowmobile, and people were driving them all over the place, and that the whole trail system sort of evolved because there was a lot of trespassing, a lot of behavior that wasn't particularly helpful to the image of snowmobiling. Now, Lisa Marshall, is snowmobiling still a significant part of the winter tourism play? And, you know, if so, you know, I do see them, and you see, we all see the trails. But I got to think it's not as big as it was back then. But, you know, what's happening with snowmobiling now, and how are people using that sport or that activity to, you know, to keep going in the winter?
Well, I think the challenge for snowmobiling is you have to have the right amount of snow and you have to be able to groom it. And I think, you know, we've had some years, you know, I've been working here for 15 years, there have been some years where we haven't quite, you know, had that level of snow where they can groom these trails appropriately, or, you know, they're groomed and they wear down. But I still think, you know, we're still a leader for snowmobile trails in the nation. And when we have the, you know, World Championship Snowmobile Derby here in Wisconsin, so we're still on top in terms of that. But, you know, another thing is ATVs have been really popular, and they're kind of starting to surpass, well, not kind of, they are. I think they've surpassed snowmobiling in terms of, you know, purchasing and licenses.
And people use them in the winter.
I don't know. I guess, James, maybe you can tell me about, you see that more than I do, if they're using them in the winter.
Yeah, again, it varies county by county.
Yeah,
some counties put they close the trails in November. Others leave them open. But, yeah, the ATV is more attractive because it is able to be used a lot more in year-round-wise. Snowmobiling, I think, and, you know, at least for us, when you get up in the counties by us, snowmobiling is still king.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what drives the economy. But as Lisa mentioned, it is also dependent not only upon good snow, but continual snow. You need to get fresh snow to fall, you know, every so often so that they can go out and groom them and flatten them out and stuff. But boy, if you have the right weather conditions, Wisconsin could be a really busy place even in the wintertime.
Well, and you can build events around that as well.
Absolutely.
I know that poker runs and that sort of thing and chances to go to different businesses exist for that as well. The snowmobile racing is an area that has, in different parts of the state, I know Eagle River's had a big snowmobile race for many, many years. And I think that's still a pretty big deal, is it not, Lisa Marshall? Are you familiar with that one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it still draws, 40,000 spectators.
Amazing.
And, there's a reason why they call it the Indianapolis 500 of snowmobiling. Oh. It is a really big deal to that community. I know I was just up there this fall and stayed in the Derby Inn, the Best Western, and every room has, a name for previous champions. So, it's part of the culture there.
Used to do radar runs when I was back in the 80s, too. I remember covering those where you'd go out on basically drag racing on a flat sheet of ice. It wasn't really drag racing because you weren't competing directly against another player, but you were doing it on time and see how fast you could go.
I still think, we still have those happening around the state. I still see a few of them, on travelwisconsin.com, which is the website for the state. We have a very comprehensive event listing, and if you look on there, if you just search radar run, you're going to get a couple to show up.
I know there's a lot of them in our neck of the woods. I know one of our biggest weekends of the winter season is the longest weenie roast weekend on Lake Namekagon, and they do radar runs there. I know Lake Chautauqua has some radar runs down in the Hayward area.
Okay.
They do radar runs. Another thing that's kind of come on, it's a new thing that we've had in our area a couple times, is called Core Power Sports does a cross-country snowmobile race where instead of going for speed and laps, they're actually doing it basically a long cross-country
sure.
course, and the first one back wins. And so that's a little bit of a twist on the radar runs.
And kind of more true to what most people use snowmobiles to do.
Yeah, snowmobiling in the wintertime, those trails can be used more for transportation than our roads in some cases and instances.
I had our friends Bonnie Clark and Debbie Brown did some work for me this morning, just checking to kind of get some updates on where we were with snowmobile trail grooming and cross country as well, which is something we haven't spent a lot of time with already. But cross country, obviously, a big deal, and a lot of those trails are open and doing pretty well. A lot of snowmobile trails still to open, partly because of ice conditions, and I hadn't thought of that, but that I would think because a lot of snowmobile trails do use frozen lakes in order to get from one place to another, that's something that you have to pay attention to. Lisa Marshall, you had talked a little bit about the Travel Wisconsin website, and that's an area where you can kind of find out where things are happening and what kind of winter sports are doing, where you can go to do certain kinds of winter sports.
Well, it's a pretty comprehensive website, and we definitely rely on people like James at the Cable Chamber of Commerce to help us populate, our website with events and lodging and restaurants. So, we have our snow conditions report, which I should talk about. It's the most up-to-date, you're going to get on snowmobile trails, cross-country ski trails, and ski areas. And again, we rely on people in the industry to update that for us, and they go into the system, and they, will give you the latest conditions of the trail, last time it was groomed, with the bases, details like that. So that snow conditions report is probably one of our, I think it is the most visited page on our site because it's, it goes on from, December through March, really. And so it's one of our top pages.
So who's populating the page? Is it clubs? Is it counties?
It's people like the Cable Chamber of Commerce. And James, I don't know, how do you get the information from your clubs? Is that how you?
Yeah, we actually, snow condition reports is probably something that visitors are most passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
They want the most accurate information.
Sure.
And so we really struggled with that. And when I came on as director, I actually worked in partnership with our grooming coordinator. And we actually put a cell phone inside one of the groomers. And as that groomer is out grooming the trails, he uses that phone to call us. Because the whole time he's grooming, he's focused on the condition of the
sure.
trail, what he's seeing and stuff. So it's the most accurate information we could get. So they call us and they say, here's what we're seeing, here's what our report is. And then we propagate it on to the department site. And Lisa's team is always really good at sending us reminders, hey, update this. And, I think December 1st was when that site first went
mm-hmm.
active, which seems early to some people, but people that are anxious to get up here and recreate in the winter, by December 1st, they're just kind of jonesing and like, hey,
yeah.
What's the latest? What's the latest? Even if there isn't much to report. But it's insane. When we get fresh snow or a significant weather event, the number of phone calls we get wanting updated trail reports and stuff is just insane.
And I would say so much of that, we rely on these snowmobile clubs and these and the people who go out there to groom it. I mean, these are volunteers, and it shows you how passionate they are about the sport. They go out there and they groom it, and just how welcoming they are. Like, they go out there and they know people from outside the area are going to come and enjoy their local, you know, trails. And we couldn't do this without them. We wouldn't be this destination that we are if it wasn't for the passion of the people.
Stepping back to sort of the original question, Lisa Marshall, how much does Wisconsin depend on out-of-state tourism to bolster its economy? A lot of the things we're talking about, it seems like it may be you're moving, you know, you're getting outside in your own community, or you're traveling, you know, 30 to 60 miles or maybe 100 miles to somewhere else in Wisconsin. But do we see Illinois? Do we see Chicago? Do we see other, you know, we talked a little bit that some marketing is targeted toward the Twin Cities. That makes sense. You can get up into Polk County from the Twin Cities or Burnett County within an hour or so. But are Chicagoans making their way to the north?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, 50% of our visitors are coming from out of state. The other 50% are people, you know, in our state moving around, you know, someone from Milwaukee going up to Cable, et cetera. We put a lot of advertising dollars into places like Chicago and Twin Cities. These are very highly densely populated areas. And, you know, especially when you look at Chicago, they don't have what we have in terms of outdoor recreation, so they want to come here to just, you know, get out of the urban area and enjoy the beautiful scenery and, you know, the forest. We have the National Forest here, National Lakeshore. So we do put a lot of emphasis on our advertising efforts in that area. I mean, I think they're probably around 25% of our traveler. And the rest, you know, then Minneapolis and then other Midwest states like Iowa, Indiana, even Missouri or Ohio.
You know, we put a lot of our focus in the fall on watching the harvest reports coming out of the northern Iowa counties because a lot of those farmers are the ones who, from spring through the time the ground freezes, can't really go anywhere because they're working their crops.
Right.
But once the snow falls, they've got a couple of months when they have some time off. And if they had good crops and bumper crops, they're sitting on some disposable income that they want to come up and spend. So from a snowmobiling standpoint, I would say, you know, we see a majority of our snowmobilers come from Illinois and Iowa and southern Minnesota. And so snowmobilers are definitely, I would say, larger out of state versus in state.
Interesting.
But as I said before, we see a lot of downstate people come up. The Madison area has a huge ski population that comes up and skis our trails. We draw from the UP. We draw a lot, very heavily, from the Twin Cities. We hosted a couple of events with the U.S. Olympic Committee the last several years. Mm-hmm. And so I had opportunity to talk with them a lot about cross-country skiing. And their research shows that there are more registered, or I don't know if they're registered, but known cross-country skiers in the greater Minneapolis area than the entire country of Canada.
Wow.
And so, you know, we draw a lot from out of state for winter activities to northern Wisconsin, as Lisa said, partly because we've got such large tracts of land where they can be out on those trails and really see some beautiful scenery that they wouldn't be able to get closer to home.
That agriculture, the farmer as a winter tourist is an interesting idea, because as I remember growing up in rural Barron County, largely agricultural area, you didn't hear about a lot of farmers who were, you know, going water skiing and things like that. But boy, snowmobiling, deer hunting, those winter sports, because, yeah, you don't have to be, you know, doing something in the field. You know, you might be fixing a piece of equipment. But there's certainly – that was the downtime, and it was an opportunity to get out and do something fun. And, you know, as long as you're used to fixing machines anyway, you might as well own a home light snowmobile. 800-228-5615. Got time to get you in if you'd like to join us quickly. I do have one Facebook comment. This is from Fred, and he is talking about winter fun at the Wide Spot Performing Arts Center in Stockholm. It includes the radio show Going Coastal, which is a regular feature there. They do that kind of every month or so, or every other month, it seems like. They've got an evening of improv, a gumbo cook-off, Irish music by Four Pints Shy, Americana music by Bernie King and the Guilty Pleasures, and their annual theater presentation and more. And more information is available on that at widespot.org. And that's another example of some of the indoor things you can do to keep yourself interested in winter or keep yourself sane over the winter. You can go in and take part in some of that. You, James Bolin, are a member of the Governor's Council on Tourism. If I can shift a little bit, what sorts of issues is the Governor's Council on Tourism dealing with? What are some of the hot topics that that group has been working on?
Well, you know, one of the big things I think that we have been discussing and focusing on is primarily the marketing efforts of the Department of Tourism, and Stephanie and her team have done an incredible job. As Lisa mentioned, the way that they've diversified their marketing and all the tools that they're using, they come out with just incredible campaigns. And, you know, whether it's a tweeting campaign that they've done recently, or some of their social media stuff, some of the out-of-home stuff that they're doing in the Chicago area, which is a big draw year-round for Wisconsin, have been incredible. They've won, Lisa, I don't want to put you on the spot, but how many awards are you guys up to now in the last 6 years, like 80-something?
It's like 83 since 2011, and those are awards from our marketing and public relations efforts and our website, and some of those are national and international in scope, too. So we're pretty proud of that.
And Lisa Marshall, I assume you folks are, you know, you're not working in season. You're working ahead. I would assume that a lot of the focus for you folks right now is what's cooking next summer.
Yeah, you are exactly right. In fact, we are working on editing summer and fall and winter ads for next year. And we'll be ready to show those in March at the Governor's Conference on Tourism, which will be in Milwaukee this year, March 12th through the 14th. And that's our annual conference for the tourism industry. And we'll have our campaign ready to show the industry so they can see what we're doing to help promote them and bring travelers to their area.
So let's wrap up our conversation. And maybe Lisa Marshall, For our winter tourism, what do we need to have happen in order for things to maximize for winter tourism in Wisconsin? What kind of weather are we looking for?
Well, I would like, I know James called it the white gold. We need snow and to keep the trails open, and some cold to maybe get these ice caves frozen and the lakes frozen. So, but if not, if we don't have those things, then you know there's always alternatives. You know, other activities that people can do and enjoy and still get out.
Thank you to our guest, James Bolin, a member of the Governor's Council on Tourism and Executive Director of the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce, and Lisa Marshall, Communications Director of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. If you'd like to hear this program again in its entirety, check out WPR.org this afternoon. Go to shows and look up the West Side. Thanks to on-air producer Mort Cypress, publicist Samantha Greener, and good luck to you, Sammy, as you graduated on Saturday. Next week on the West Side, an encore presentation of a program on the changing demographics of area churches. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa.
Sorry if I cut you off at the end there, James.
No, that was good.
Okay, appreciate it a lot. Thank you so much.
And, you're welcome.
We didn't get many calls, but
That's
we must
okay.
have been too interesting.
That's okay. All right, you guys, take care.
Thank you.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
One. Bye.
Bye.